Die Hooggeregshof in Pretoria het gister gesê die regering se mynbouhandves is 'n beleidsdokument en nie 'n wet nie. Nou dit is dalk tegnies, maar dit bevestig die beginsel van een keer bemagtig, altyd bemagtig. En dit beteken dat indien 'n mynmaatskappy 'n bemagtigingstransaksie gesluit het en die bemagtigingsvennoot die aandele later sou verkoop, die maatskappy nie weer 'n bemagtigingstransaksie hoef te sluit nie. Die uitspraak verwyder groot onsekerheid oor die interpretasie van die handves en kan dalk belegging in die sektor aanwakker. Die Minerale Raad van Suid-Afrika het aanvanklik die aansoek gebring om sekere klausules van die handves terside te stel. Tabello Chabana is op die lyn, hy is hoof van openbare sake en transformasie by die Minerale Raad van Suid-Afrika. Tabello, thank you so much for joining me. What does this judgment mean for the mining industry?
Hi, and good day to your listeners, good evening to your listeners. It means that we certainly have an element of certainty relating to quite a critical component, and that is, you know, BE transactions in the context where, the entity has done the empowerment and then, you know, the black shareholders has then subsequently sold them, sold their shares. We had a judgment in 2018 that said once empowered, always empowered does apply, or we call it continuing consequences of transactions. It does apply in the during the duration of the mining right itself. Now, the court has now also clarified that this also applies in the context of a renewal of a mining right or a transfer of a mining right, which is actually absolutely quite important for us. So the court removed the provisions in the mining charter that sought to undermine that. So that's really the one of the key outcomes of this judgment.
What does it mean for empowerment in the mining sector?
Well, you must understand that the mining sector, I think, you know, we've been a pioneer relating to empowerment. I always say to people, you look at your top, your richest black people in the country. I would say if you look at top 20, 18 of those will come from mining. So the mining industry has been instrumental in empowering black people, in creating the black industrialists. So we're going to continue. Yes, our empowerment is getting more broad-based. We're focusing on employees. We're focusing on our communities. So this judgment is not going to impact transformation at all. We are totally committed to transformation. And by the way, we are actually implementing the current mining charter. There was just one or two provisions that we had challenges with, but we've been implementing the charter as it is.
What is the relationship between government and the mining sector currently? Because as you've said earlier, this case has been, it started in 2018. It's 3 years later. Is there still a bit of a argy-bargy between the parties, or do you actually sit around the table and agree on a few things?
I think there will always be argy-bargy, I think, between the regulator and the mining industry. You know, we are a highly politicized industry. And this dispute actually has gone on for even longer because it arose out of the 2010 mining charter. So it's actually been going on for some time. But look, we do have a minister here that is willing to listen to us, that is willing to engage us. That's all you want. I mean, you're not always going to agree. That's fair. But, you know, you need somebody that's willing to listen to your point of view, willing to be convinced, and also one that will convince you of their case. So if you can work with the minister and the team, that's all you actually need. And I think that's what we've got at the moment. Now, we clearly also work with other regulators and government. And, you know, you win some, you lose some. But I think the bigger challenges at the moment for the mining sector, even in the context of such great commodity prices, yes, we've got some lingering uncertainties relating to various issues, but the big challenges at the moment relate to the SOEs, I think, the state-owned enterprises, in terms of power for our sector, Transnet, in terms of logistics. And those are the kind of, a lot of those kind of things now we are applying our effort to trying to resolve, yeah.
But we've also seen really a lack of investment in the sector despite the high commodity prices. So we are seeing our big mines investing outside of South Africa. We see little in exploration from junior miners. And it is as if people are very concerned about the policy certainty within the mining sector. Do you think this judgment could reduce that uncertainty and elicit some additional investment, hopefully in the short term?
Yeah, look, your assessment is correct. South Africa is a mature mining jurisdiction. We should be getting a lot more investment. Currently, we're getting less than 1% of the global exploration spend. I mean, coming from a high of, what, up to 5%. You know, countries like Australia are getting closer to 5%. So, yes, South Africa could see a lot more investment. And just because it's a mature mining investment does not mean the opportunities aren't there. They certainly are there. We are also trying to make the country a lot more prospective in being able to provide more information. So, yes, we still have quite a number of regulatory operating issues to resolve as a mining sector to make it a lot more attractive. You know, we need investing in mining is a long-term game. You know, you've got to have that security of tenure. You've got to have, you know, consistently applied laws and competitive laws. So our sector is not there yet. We still have a long way to go. Is this judgment a step in the right direction? Absolutely. It has provided certainty relating to a very critical component. Yeah.
Tabello, thank you so much for your time tonight. Dit was Tabello Chabana. Hy is hoof van openbare sake en transformasie by die Minerale Raad van Suid-Afrika.